It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. People in New York and Washington still face the grim evidence of the tragedy, but even people far away from those cities are realizing their lives may never be quite the same as before last week's attacks. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold sends this report from the road in the Pacific Northwest.
Drive a 100-mile stretch of highway anywhere in America right now, and you'll see 100 flags hung for 100 different reasons. The nation is at once awash in patriotism, defiance, compassion, and fear. Along I-5 in the northwest corner of the country, it's Memorial Day every mile. Store-bought and homemade flags hang from telephone poles, overhead passes, boatyards, pulp mills, trailer parks, and Howard Johnson's. At the Canadian border, they fly from the antennas of minivans and pickups inching home through U.S. Customs. In a less symbolic sign of Tuesday's aftermath, traffic is backed up at the border, slowed by new security procedures, the most visible evidence out here that something's different. Across the traffic is an oasis of green, a U.S.-Canada peace park, marked by a white arch, now surrounded by smoldering candles and wilted flowers. Christina Alexander is the official Peace Park curator, but can't seem to summon much reassurance.
We've always had an understanding of how terrible the atrocity of terrorism is, but I think now we all taste it, and we know that it's real.
What's real is you need a driver's license and proof of U.S. citizenship to get into the country now. Guards in white gloves search every car, every trunk, front, back, underneath, and everything inside. No one complains.
Can you open your hood?
At a rest stop inside the U.S. border, trucker Leo Pelagi checks his load of logs. He says he doesn't mind the wait and wants much more in the way of a response.
Sure, there is a lot of things being done, but it's in the background that the public, like myself, can't see it. And we'd like to see some action.
But it comes up short as to what should be done and against who, as does Becky Patterson, who loads toilet paper and Rice Krispies into her minivan at a Kmart further south in Bellingham.
You know, I've got four kids to worry about. I can't worry about anything else right now. You know, they're young, they're impressionable, and, you know, they got to know that we stand up for what we believe in, which is freedom. You know, it's one thing, freedom.
In this parking lot, several thousand miles from New York City, Patterson bites back tears and can't explain why. Further down the interstate on an Indian reservation, Tulalip casino worker Eddie Pablo says for him, life has changed.
I feel kind of scared. Who knows what'll happen next? Could be us. We don't know. I'm scared my son might have to go to war. He's a senior this year, and, you know, scared of stuff like that.
But along with fear, there's also compassion. From roadside signs, God bless the victims, we won't forget you, to the truckloads of clothes, food, and blood donated by the Tulalip tribes and other communities all along this interstate. While much of it hasn't been needed, the need was on the part of the givers, people feeling distant and helpless, wanting to connect. That explains in part the overnight surge of patriotism as well. On an overpass above I-5, Dave Faust waves a giant flag from the back of his pickup, nearly falling over from its weight. His brother-in-law, Jason Chappell, has come out today to join him.
And we're just out here, you know, seeing what we can get out of them, you know. There's been a couple of bad apples out of the group. They'll drive by and they'll flip you off, or they'll give you the thumbs down, and it's like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, you know? If you don't like this country and you don't love this country, what are you doing here? Leave. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere where that's okay. That's not okay with us, you know?
It's just this tone that's unsettling to some and also evident along the interstate. Signs that read death to bin Laden and suggestions of violence toward people in places most can't even pronounce. A few blocks east of the highway, past a shopping mall, is the Islamic Idris Mosque, where a few days ago a would-be arsonist doused a worshipper's car with gas and fired a shot before driving off. Abdul Karim, on his way to pray inside, steps over flowers and notes left by well-wishers and says his life has most definitely changed.
I have a wife and kids who, they are scared, essentially. So the overwhelming feeling in my family is fear. And not knowing what's going to happen in the future, it's quite scary.
It
From here, Kareem can see the Seattle skyline, where he works as a software engineer and consultant. He says he's been comforted by the countless vigils in the city's different neighborhoods. Today, on the south side of Seattle, in Martin Luther King Park, the NAACP has sponsored one. Standing on a hillside, swaying to the music, Donna Sunkel tries to put her finger on what she feels is different.
Well, I think the way that we, the country as a whole, thinks about ourselves, we're indestructible. We can tell the world what to do. That can't be, and we really have to change that. And it's up to us to take care of our own, and I think it'll go from there.
Today, people will go to the polls and vote here in Washington State, and the Mariners will play once again. And the resumption of politics and baseball will be affirmation for many that no matter how uncertain, life goes on in America. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Seattle.